the last time we were in Jude, verses 14 through 16, and we're going to try to, in the time we have left, we're going to try to finish up the chapter. It won't be as detailed as the other, so we may get soon through, may get through sooner than I think. But we talked extensively about Enoch and his prophecy and his faith in God. So his faith so strong that he walked with God, and God took him, did not permit him to see death. And I kind of want to go back. I guess we'll start with verse 16, because we didn't talk much about it. But if you remember, verse 15, his prophecy was that the Lord would come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are, as verse 15 says, is to convince all that are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And verse 16 says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This whole series has been on false teachers, and this continues on with that. He mentions that these are murmurers, complainers. Murmurers, complainers against what? Against God. Against the truth of God's Word. And that's exactly what a false teacher does. They try to stir up trouble amongst people, and especially God's people, as I believe is what he's referring to in most of this letter. Is he's referring to God's people. These false teachers come in unaware sometimes and stir up trouble with God's people. They're murmurers and complainers against God's Word. They don't like what God's Word has to say about their sins, or maybe the sins of their friends or family, or sins of others. You know, we see today those who claim that God loves everybody, you know, that he doesn't hate anybody, but we know very quickly in God's Word, you can see, just start with Genesis and see, by the time you get to chapter 6, you see how God hates, so much so that he destroyed the earth, except for one family. And then, when man murmurs and complains against him, and does it, in either whether it's in the congregation of one of the Lord's churches, or it's just to, maybe it's even a co-worker who we know is faithful. People will complain sometimes, and we hear people in the workplace sometimes that don't agree with us when it comes to God's Word. You tell them what God's Word says about certain things, and they're like, oh no, God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't say that. And you can take them to the verse and the chapter and verse and show them, well, that can't be right. You know, I've had people tell me that's not what it means. It means something else. Or maybe God wasn't talking to us through that verse. You know, we hear people say that, and it's ridiculous. And we think so, but sadly, they're sincere about it. They honestly don't believe that God would purposely do something bad to what they would consider good people. We see in our day, we see all the perversion that's going on, and those who, you know, are trying to convince us that to get away from God's Word when it comes to the homosexual lifestyle and the abortion issue and the lawless riots that are going on around the country and around the world now. And we hear the Bible blamed in a lot of that. You listen to those people talk, and some of the most ungodly things you'll ever hear are coming out now. And there's somebody, I can't remember, I don't want to misquote someone or a news agency or anything, but I've seen recently a news article that was talking about how they're calling the Bible racist now in some places. They claim it's a white man's book, you know, if you will. And the whole reason behind that, though, is because, for whatever reason, God chose mostly the descendants of Europeans to spread His word. You know, you very seldom hear of people from other nations and other what we think of color, skin color. You until recently, we have not, the last 100 years maybe, have we heard of missionaries from those places going out to European countries. And so people are looking at it as a book of discrimination, and it's God says He doesn't choose between the nations or between the races. He's no respecter of persons, in other words. But man in his sin is rebelling against God much more than we have ever seen. Much more. And remember, Christ even told us that as it was in the days of Noah, things will get worse and worse. And that's what we're seeing. And in the last part of verse 16, he says, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they take advantage of the situation that people are in. And people, these false teachers become famous. They become popular. And people admire them for their walk in life. And they seem, if you were to stand back on the outside and looking at them without knowing much about the Scripture and not knowing much about their life in general, you would think they're men who are walking in faith. But listen to what they have to say. And they're murmuring against the commandments of God for the most part. Now, in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. We should walk after their own, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having not the Spirit. And the word Spirit there is capitalized because he's talking about the Holy Spirit. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, that means they're not saved, doesn't it? These false teachers. And he says, he reminds us to remember the words that were spoken before of the apostles. Well, we can go back and we can look at the letters that Paul wrote. Paul warned of these things many times. John warned of these things. Peter, others of the apostles warned of these things. Luke was not an apostle, but he warned of these things in his writings. All the way back to Christ. Christ warned of these things. The things that are written of him in the four Gospels. And he says in verse 18, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. That goes back to what we said about having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They take advantage of people because of their ungodly lust. You know, many false teachers, and especially we think commonly, I know this is maybe a bad habit we have, but we commonly think of the TV preachers because they're easy to remember. But there's others. I mean, if we were to stop and think and maybe talk to other people and see, hear their stories, there may be some even very close to us that we haven't realized that are false teachers. Maybe not now, maybe in the past, maybe now. But he says they walk after their own ungodly lust. And we know what we see, commonly see, in, as far as ungodly lust, is these preachers who are always after money. They're always begging for money. Send me money and God will bless you tenfold. You know, that seems to be popular. Send me $1,000 and God will bless you tenfold. And I've always wondered if anybody has ever done a survey to see how many people that actually happened to. You know, that would be, I think that would be an interesting statistic to see, you know. And of course, I've known people in the past, and it seems like they prey on the elderly worse than anything, because they know they've got most elderly people, not most, but a lot of elderly people have set aside money for their retirement. And they know that. And so they prey on those people. They go after them. And they also know that there's that generation of elderly people that are naive, that believe anything anybody says, because that's how they were taught. They were taught to see the best in people and not the worst. And so they prey on that. That's where it goes back to them taking advantage of these people. And I've known people who would send $5 or $10 to a TV preacher, and they'd send them back a little trinket of some kind, and they thought that was nice and cute. And the next time they offered something else, they'd send the money again, and the dollars kept adding up. And eventually, before they'd realized, they'd given away several thousand dollars over a period of time. And you see this TV preacher with gold-plated chairs that he's sitting in, and rings on every finger, and his wife with 10 layers of makeup, and people still follow after him. And that's always amazed me. I know good people. I mean, people that should know better will follow after those people. And I used to pick on the TV station TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, because they were from Texas. They were an easy one to pick on, because I used to watch them some, just to get a laugh out of some of these people. But I haven't watched it in years. I don't even know if it's still on the air or not. But they follow their own godly lusts. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. If they have not the Spirit, they're not God's people. They're true false teachers. They're seeking after their own lust. They're wrapped up in themselves. And they're, now we know there are men and that I'm sure are saved men that teach false doctrine. We may know of some, but that's not who he's talking about here. He's talking about those who are not saved. There are those, and sometimes it's obvious. Like I said, we pick on the TV preachers because they're out there in the open. And you look at so many of those, and if you've been taught in God's Word, properly taught in God's Word, and you hear these men speak, you wonder, you got to wonder, is that man really saved to be preaching what he's preaching? Because there's no way a man called of God would preach what that man's preaching. Or a woman, in some cases, if you want to go there. For one, God didn't call women to preach. So, right there should tell you a lot about her. Does that mean she's not saved? No, it doesn't. But she is going against the commandments of God. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I want to go back to Enoch here. Enoch's kind of a twofold lesson in this book. Enoch, we saw this prophecy that he gave against the false prophets, false teachers. But also remember the story of Enoch. He was faithful to God, and God took him. Now we see where Jude is telling the people he's writing this letter to, and essentially to us, He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We have to strengthen our faith. And how do we do that? By studying God's Word. And by following God's commandments. And then praying, he says, in the Holy Ghost. We need to be praying. And this is not... These false teachers will tell you that praying in the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, or praying in tongues, as they put it. No, that's not what he's saying here. When we go in prayer, when we go to our prayer closet, if you will, our private time with God, and we push all the world away, and we are able to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and what He has to say, and He guides us in our prayers. That's what He's talking about here. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And the same thing applies with keeping yourselves in the love of God. To stay in favor with God, we have to stay faithful. We have to stay faithful to Him. Not ourselves, not false teachings, but to Him and to His commandments, His truth. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to have compassion on some to make a difference in their lives. With God's people, sometimes we need to show compassion towards those who were... Maybe they had fallen from the faith. Maybe their faith has been weakened by something that's happened in their life. Maybe they have strayed. We should show compassion on them. That doesn't mean that we agree with them and we shouldn't follow them. But show compassion on them. Pray for them. Let them know you're praying for them. Let them know you love them. And then he says, others save with fear. How do we do that? By preaching God's Word. Preaching that, letting them know what God has to say about their situation. There may be some that the best way to show compassion upon them is to present them God's Word and show them where God's Word tells what they're doing is wrong. It says, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. They're so wrapped up in their sin they're in danger of straying, not from losing their salvation, but from straying and from getting out of where they need to be as far as their faith. Now, in closing, the last two verses. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. And notice he says here in verse 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, we just read where He tells us how to keep from falling. But we can't do any of that without Him, without His guidance, without His giving us that desire to keep from falling. We can strengthen our faith by reading His Word, but He's the one who gives us that desire also. We are accountable. Don't misunderstand. We are accountable for our sins. And for our falling away. But once we begin to seek Him, He'll give us that desire to come back and that desire to follow. He says, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. My thoughts go back to what we've studied in the past on the Lord's Bride. And isn't that exactly what He does? Is for His churches, for those who are going to be in His Bride, He keeps them from falling. and presents them faultless before the presence of His glory, not ours, but His, and with exceeding joy. And he ends with, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. In other words, give Him all the glory. Give Him all the majesty. He's the only deserving one in this. Dominion and power, both now and ever. It's never ending. When we are gone from this life, whether it's through death in this life, or whether it's through the rapture, or it's and once we enter that phase of eternity, that time of eternity, that's all we're going to do is glorify God from now and forever, he says. So remember these things. Remember the things we've studied in this book. He goes from one extreme to the other, but it's a good study. And we'll stop there for this morning.